Recording in progress.
Thank you so much.
You want this over here closed?
Close, please.
I think we've been together over 20 years. I think those are the biggest exhibits you've ever run out of.
He brings some pretty consistent. Okay, Dale, you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, sure, absolutely. This is their, you know, ordinance, this is the ordinance that's happened. This is the agenda. And then this was an idea about that. Okay, so on the agenda today is ordinance 2022-158, which was introduced at the November meeting of council. There was some discussion and we referred it to committee. Our intent is to have that discussion about the ordinance and see if we can send it back so that it can be considered next week at the council meeting. So we wanted to invite Don. Clearly you have some things to say and.
Yeah, just to recap a little bit.
Yes, apparently you got some visual stuff. You start out, but I know councilperson Pagliotti and had said, you know, there was obviously some protections that were put in. And we also have the reality that these protections have been variants every time. So my goal today was trying to see if there's any, was there anything that could be a compromise between outright exempting all commercial property and maybe having some type of a different approach than what's prescribed in legislation. But Don, why don't you start us out?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, just to recap, we had, ever since its inception in December, I believe, of 17, we've had occasion to always refer to the steep slope setback map as it was developed and provided to us from Sugar Land Valley Engineering when we were studying this ordinance, the adoption of the ordinance back in 17. So those are the maps we refer to. It's where we kind of start the conversation. And there, you know, I think sometime in March of last year, there was a concern raised that, like, to the extent of all the variances, that there was a perception that, or concern that we were just throwing caution to the wind with the ordinance and not trying to meet the spirit and intent, or just an explanation as to why all the variances. So I do have a list. Is that part of it?
That was not.
Okay, I can hand out. I got some.
I'm going to tell you to scroll through and map at the bottom of that.
You might want to make it a little bigger.
You have the list of the variances.
I had that somewhere.
I think with the majority of where on Pleasant Valley, but although we did have that parking lot, you know, with the Cedars, we had one residential.
We're chasing it down. The addresses for the properties that had received the variances from to date since its inception. There were six.
Yeah.
Six commercial properties.
So 33 is too small, 75 is too much.
Thank you.
Others like that?
Yeah.
Do you want the map or you just want the ordinance?
The map is handy. So we can take one.
So we thought we would have some visuals of the map while we're talking here, but the premise being that a lot of the development, both residential and commercial areas, so a lot of the impacts to the steep slopes had occurred way back when the original development took place, such that now when proposed site developments, either fresh or mostly alterations on existing sites and or on residential properties in backyards, abutting ravines, that it tends to trigger this ordinance. And by and large, almost to the number, that the same story kind of holds true for a lot of these variances as they come through the Planning Commission for review and consideration, is that the impacts had predated the ordinance and it's somewhat of a grandfathering condition, and therefore we always typically request the variances. So rather than continue to, and in light of the recent Planning Commission agenda items for development, I think through some of the Indexco properties, it just it came up and during the Planning Commission discussion, members of the Planning Commission had raised the question because this was an obvious item that had to be contended with and addressed. And the comment was, let's try to review, maybe in lieu of continuing to take on these new requests, let's maybe look at the ordinance and see if there's a way to strategize to address it in the beginning of the process and try, and therefore we requested a simple exclusion of all commercial properties, make it only apply to residential properties. And with the thought being that, you know, as land is more and more difficult to come by, it's difficult to develop every inch of available properties, the little that we have left in the commercial areas for that it's undeveloped presently and vacant, it's critical that setback that's along the top of the ravine there is still prime real estate, and it's advantageous to not encumber the property and not have an encumbrance that developers, when they inquire as to properties, it's already almost like an easement, that it's already somewhat encumbered because of this map, because of the ordinance in 17. So we thought globally that we would recommend it.
The residential variances and everything, they were all done through the BZA, right?
I don't remember the commercial was coming before planning.
I remember the one at Evergreen went through planning for some reason too, but I don't know what the others did.
Yeah, I thought that because this ordinance is more, you know, it's a planning level document, I think it was built into this ordinance that the Planning Commission be the board that hears the variances versus most other variances throughout the whole city. For the code, it goes to the BCA. So I think it had to do with just the planning nature of projects, which stands, you know, it seems equitable in that approach. But for the a lot of these sites were, like for instance, Pleasant Valley. East Pleasant Valley is, you know, significant amount of ravines and a lot of the, and there are significant impacts. So I'm not disputing that when that development occurred in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and there were significant fills and kind of create those large development sites, and stormwater wasn't, I don't even know that our stormwater regulations were even on the books then, so it was a good amount of maybe degradation that occurred back then. But we've adopted new ordinances, we do have stormwater management ordinances 1380, 1381 that are in place, and we feel that we're not degrading the environment or still doing things prudently on a case-by-case basis as we review the site plans. And so since we're talking, you can see a lot of the green, there's a lot of what's not turned on, I don't think, down the streams, but generally the streams are running in the centers of these setback areas, typically is in the center, and you've got steep slopes on either side of a traditional V ravine, and these orange shaded areas. I zoomed into that. The flat 25-foot setback is the orangish, yellowish, at the very tops of the ravines. That's the setback, and then everything in green is the actual steep slope itself. So see, this is the Kichler site, I believe. What's that?
Wild Republic.
Oh, Wild Republic. We recently had 8801, which CSA's redevelopment of this parcel. I think that might be why it's shaded. But they did need some relief, but it was already a site that was developed, and they didn't have presently. These are 60s of the original construction. There was no stormwater management, but under this redevelopment, they were required to trigger some stormwater mitigation, and they actually moved their site work away from the slope. So, but we're still in that setback.
Well, the property right next door, where I think they were in front of Planning Commission too.
Yes.
And I thought that was something that the engineers were going to look into also.
Yeah, the project that they were proposing didn't. They didn't need relief. They weren't proposing they weren't proposing.
Well, then they filled part of it without getting permission from the city at one point.
Yeah, that predated the ordinance.
Yeah, they tried to build it, when they built Pleasant Valley Road, they filled it without getting a city permit.
Right. And we sort of addressed that by asking them not to, they weren't asking for any relief to that setback as it was. So we were able to kind of avoid it in that scenario. But that's, so that's what we're asking, Ms. Feld will try to catch it, address the. I'm not the best guy to be on this.
You're doing a pretty good job.
Yes,
Here's your name, it's been asked. There you go.
Everybody's got a skill set. We can clean that off, but we can see what we got.
How's the construction coming along with, going behind, Heidelberg?
Yeah, it looks like, I haven't seen it, but it looks like an anthill, they told me.
Haven't been back there.
Yeah, I didn't want to get, in the way there.
You said it's an anthill, I mean, all this activity.
Yeah.
Is it, was that you that told me that?
Maybe.
Somebody.
It's impressive.
And I think, so that's one, that might have been the project where this was brought up. And I think they received full relief to the ordinance because it had been, that site had been modified numerous times throughout the years and had been demolished and redeveloped, so nothing out there was existing or natural law condition, so.
And that's because that shooting range is down in.
Right.
Right, that's good, yeah.
And then the other one was, Old Brexville Road, I think we had, a number of years ago, that predated ordinance, I believe they had issued, we had issued them a clearing permit, the old Broglios.
Yeah.
Probably, so that all hillside, if you recall, a lot of that vegetation was denuded and cut down, and it grew back over the years, but it had been already impacted, and we, Independence Excavating received a early action grading plan because of trying to make that property more developable.
Anything with that that we ran out?
Not yet, no, we did approve a plan, and they were negotiating with ODOT to get some, because a lot of the work is in the right of way, and their access right.
So that's just.
My understanding, ODOT is, we're testing, part of the dirt's to be moved is on ODOT's property, so.
I see.
They have to work deal with ODOT.
And once that gets done, then they'll be able to.
And ODOT needed to see our review and approval before they would consider their approval, so we were able to show them proof of the city's approval.
Because they were hoping to have something, maybe people have something by the end of next year, that starts construction, or make it buildable.
So with respect to this relief that they're asking for, they generally don't want the setback to change, they want to be able to use as much of their property as they purchase, is that the fair way of stating that?
Right, they want to use the full available land on the flat is what.
So the question comes up, as an alternative, instead of just exempting them, because we still have problems, we still have soil and erosion problems, we still have flooding, we still have water flow through those areas. Is there a way that we can ask them to do some mitigation that might be a little bit more business friendly, it might be a little bit less expensive around the areas on the slopes themselves or around their areas so that they don't have to get, you know, a complete buffer zone, but that they can put trees and bushes and things that could actually help them from an erosion perspective? Would that be something that would be acceptable in your opinion to have them do something that has some mitigation associated with it, but it's not depriving them of the right to use a bit of land?
Yes, I reviewed the website if you refer to, yeah, and it has a number of different four specific items, and I feel like these are best management practices for sure. And our ordinance is 1380 and 1381, I do believe, require and or encourage through that ordinance process, review and approval through Soil and Water Conservation District and Stormwater Management, that we very cognizant of these items, and it's very normal to have all four of these items incorporated into any site development.
But if they get an exemption, they don't have to deal with it.
No.
Oh, no. Any site development, whether it's near a steep slope or not, has to comply with the 1380 and 1381 that
we impose. So there's a lot of approval process?
Well, yeah.
Soil conservation efforts and other agencies that we contract with.
Right, so our ordinances require it, and it's typically the EPA's model for our erosion sediment control ordinances and post-construction stormwater quality are the two ordinances that we adopted. And we have occasion to update those every 5 years per the EPA, but we are, site development plan comes with the project itself, it's then an erosion stormwater pollution prevention plan. It's all the things for erosion and sediment controls. And those plans get reviewed by our, with our memorandums of understanding, because it's tied to soil.
Council person Trankis, I think I understand, because I read his email too, could do is implement, you know, that, those items in the website. In the current 1381, they can require a speed slope setting.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And then you could exempt, because this, any developer would have to follow 1380, you know, regardless. But we couldn't. And then you'd have a section where you're getting, what I think you're trying to accomplish is the mitigation aspect.
Correct.
And they're getting the exemption.
Yes, that's precisely
right. Right there? And I don't think the EPA is going to worry about us making it more robust.
Yeah, so I guess the only a little bit of a, maybe I'm not quite certain or unsure of what you're saying, that even if an applicant proposed to build all the way up to the top of the slope, we would still obligate him or request it. Most developers don't want to get into slopes that are wooded and very steep, and those are the steep areas. They're not typically proposing modifications or any impacts on the steep slope itself. So so we wouldn't want them to then go into the very areas that are green and kind of like stay away from areas and do
this. Yes, they're green a lot. So
right.
These aren't. So that's what I guess I was thinking. It's like, so if erosions already impact those areas, could they improve those areas so that it brings back and revitalizes the area?
Actually,
that would be a discretionary issue that you.
Right.
You
yeah.
Use.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And we would know that on a site by site.
Yeah, that's the concern that I kind of raise. It's kind of like, you know, if there's nothing there, and a lot of times there's nothing there, you know, maybe there should be something there to be able to protect the area a little bit and, you know, revitalize what was at once, what has been lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would just have to probably work pretty, it would have to be strategized as how to best.
Yeah. That's something that you would do, the engineering department, or with outside agencies.
Probably depends on how it's written. I think we'd be the first line of review.
I would say that we should review it. I don't think the whole idea is not to make this expensive and
get everybody over here and start paying more money for
right.
people outside our organizations. And in fact, if we could do it internally, it complements what we have, the review process we have to go through anyway.
You have to do it anyway, right? Yeah. That's exactly what I was hoping.
The biggest issue is that the 25 feet just becomes a crisis up here because the slopes. Few would ever want to build into that anyway.
Only the sophisticated ones where a commercial site and an engineer and the investment into a project would warrant such
That was that protects us. That 25 feet would then be really that's what we're talking about.
It's the setback. Yeah.
So we clean that up, allows you to use the 25 feet. We still have these mechanisms in place to protect the steep slope.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Because that was the thrust of the ordinances.
Well, that would probably be somewhere in between. But yeah, the ordinance was just to say that all these areas with green and yellow shaded areas, anywhere in commercial areas would almost appear to be not, it wouldn't apply, you know.
But our review process, well, I'm hearing, forces us to apply that to
rather than dismiss it.
This is the right. Mm-hmm. So we have a mechanism in place, is what I guess we're all trying to do is get a comfort level that whatever we enact, is not, it encourages, but it doesn't force,
right?
And it protects at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
So if in fact there's an erosion portion of the steep slope, we identify it through your process, and if we can create some mechanism to improve that quality, that slope, and protect that slope
as part of that site development,
then we can say, here, we recommend this improvement. Because we're not getting into it, but the 25 foot that is allowed to be work in that area.
And it might be a nice.
I think that's a pretty nice
fair approach.
That's a fair approach, yeah.
So is that what the ordinance says?
Not correct.
But I think Greg's been taking notes.
Can we amend the ordinance to allow, to just ensure that you review it, but the, we need to be able to utilize the land and we protect that steep slope?
Well, there's, the EPA is very stringent upon, that's why you have the variance request and the setback. We just start with setback, not the steep slope.
Yeah, setback, we can, the ordinance takes care of that.
Right, but what I'm hearing you say is that.
You know, that's what I want to see have it do.
Yeah, you want to protect the setback, you want to let it to work, and it's a,
That's the only purpose of the whole thing, is to let them work within that setback.
Erosion control measures.
Yes, correct. So they don't have to, the setback would then be exempted, but they would have to take our advice on those measures.
If there's any encroachment on that, or if there's an opportunity to fix them up.
If there's current problems.
If there's current problems.
You would evaluate them on a case-by-case basis, it's not a blanket statement.
So we're still kind of going through the process, through the planning commission process. We would probably know that, where those items of concern might be.
But we wouldn't have to go for that 25-foot then.
No, we would.
The purpose of the whole ordinance is to allow more flexibility, let them.
Yes.
Say it the way you want it to say.
I think you said it right, I think we understand what to do, actually.
And it'd be coming through the planning commission process anyway, for approval of the project itself, at that time.
We catch it that way, rather than creating a separate variance.
Right.
Variance is actually part of that, and if we can make recommendations on the steep slope as part of it, everybody, city's protected, they get to utilize the land, and everybody's in good shape. Is that what I'm hearing?
I can absolutely live with that, Dale, what are your thoughts?
I don't know, I guess the biggest point that we spent a lot of time determining that we wanted to have that setback to keep the action from being right at the edge of the steep slope. So I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of basically, yeah, we're gonna watch it, but it's not as protected. So I'm not totally on board here.
Okay. I'm not sure it's not protected because it's gonna have to go through the same review process. Is that right, Dan?
Oh yeah. And even like for instance, CBIS, that site is so what's usable on that site of the all the ravines that are compass the 5 or 6 acres, it's 4 that's developable. They needed some help and got some relief to build asphalt pavement and curbing up to the near into the setback.
Just
in certain areas. But no, it's all managed. That water comes intern to the site, all gets bundled through catch basin, storm sewer to detention basin that's controlled outlet to a storm sewer system. So you're not dumping water over the hill.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're kind of hearing. I think this is a fair compromise because the only non-developed land is this type of land right now. I mean, for the most part, there's not a lot of virgin land sitting around that doesn't have this type of a problem associated with it. And my feeling is if you can improve it and use that discretion instead of just saying, hey, you know, Katie, by the door, whatever you want to do, I think that's that mitigation is very important to the process. And that, not currently happening necessarily right now. So I think that's an added protection that we would add in. I think that would be fair. My own opinion, I understand your position too.
What about the other two councilmen that are here? Might impose on them to, because we need to make sure we got votes, that's all.
Dave, what is your thoughts? I'll defer to the vice mayor first.
Well, I agree with the confirmation. Now, will that require us then to revise the other ordinance or the other statute to implement these 4?
I don't think so. No. They're already part of the ordinance. This is just a checkpoint for steep slopes only, really. Because those other properties have to go through that process.
I know Dr. Asif was real adamant. Remember, he was opposed to this for the exact reason, because it might be a hindrance to developing what's little is left to develop and everything. I can see Dale's standpoint of the concern, but I think you know, with the engineers, a thorough review that planning commission calls for, you'd be able to catch things of that and of that nature, and would be able to require some of the remedial. So I think the big thing was just not to be a hindrance to future development, whether it be just expansion of what they have down there now, which is a good part of the case, or don't know how much more.
I think developers want to come in and know that, hey, the city supports them as long as they stay within these parameters. But by the way, you're going to have to protect their property.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think the other thing is functionally, this isn't happening. So it's, you know, I'd rather have something than just people coming in and getting variances that cost them money to show up and it costs us money to, you know. In this way, I think you at least get a protection that you didn't have. That's not going to be dramatically expensive for them. And they have to live by that protection. And it's at your discretion. And I think that is actually about more beneficial than getting a bunch of variances, you know. So we just left it the way it is. It's not like it would actually do what we intended, right? I mean, that's just not how it's functioned properly, so.
The longer we'll actually be promoting protection of the steep soil and I think what we can do to protect the integrity of the land. And
Chris, just a bunch.
Oh, as long as, you know, I'm okay with the 25 feet. I'm just, as long as, you know, there's protection to the steep slope where they can't dig into it or affect that in any way.
Well, that is current law. That would not change to this. Even by this ordinance as proposed, it would not change.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Any other feedback? Or any financial advice you might give us on this?
One issue, maybe I don't have to weigh in on.
You're shockingly quiet, and I do that. Do you have enough to?
I have enough to work with Don.
Okay.
Rise up to him, and hopefully by then next week, but certainly by January. That's for sure.
Okay, good deal. Jessica, does this sound fair to you from the people you've talked to?
You know, I think so. I mean, as you said, the easy land is the developers. We're left with parcel land. And unfortunately, with this hindrance in the way, it does make it a little bit more challenging, even from a retention standpoint. My companies want to expand on their existing lot. So if we can make some relief, I think it'll be beneficial for us in the long run. And for people who are concerned about overdevelopment, if we're able to retain companies in their current spot, able to develop and expand there, it stops them from having to buy another site and develop that site. So it's a... It's a necessary change.
Anything else on this ordinance? So we'll try to work out something along the lines of what we discussed. It would be back before council either next week or in January, correct?
Would it have to come off the agenda because of the new year and it gets renumbered? No, is that not the case?
At least within the two-year cycle.
Two-year cycle.
Okay. If the new council is coming.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Let's feel free to, if it does go back on Tuesday, then it'll be on in the January agenda.
All right. Any?
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure it's perfectly clear that any time that we're involved in compromising the water situation, people downstream pay the price. So whether it was the development of Tulip Trail and a gentleman down Stone Road talked to me about the width of a gigantic water feature now that the water continually coming down from the area of Tulip Trail adjacent to his property. So in other words, there are consequences. There are consequences in Braywood as we dealt with the quantity of water that's going through under Brexville Road, cutting through those properties and basically taking certain property areas of those landholders and making them useless. So, you know, we've got to keep an eye on protecting people downstream because those are the ones that bear the brunt of any kind of a compromise we make to that area. So that's one of my big concerns. Number one, obviously, you don't want to compromise the steep slope. Hands off. No, we're not going to try to do some kind of stuff along the steep slope that's going to be better than the vegetation that's there. That's crazy. But how close do we allow somebody to be to that steep slope? And we're landing that in Don's lap, according to what I understand. But
for the commercial property.
Right. Because that 25 feet, you know, that definitely plays a role in the runoff. And unfortunately, because we are stuck with properties that were compromised, that aren't actually as they were, that have been urban developed, have been filled, have been in other ways affected, then that makes it really difficult to say, well, that's an original virgin steep slope. So for that reason, you know, when we talk about properties along Pleasant Valley that certain things have already happened, that's almost like that's a different ballgame. But some of the few areas that are actually brand fresh, virgin turf, then it's a little harder for me to say, oh yeah, turn it loose.
That's your question. The reference of Cascade Creek or Tulip Trail, that's not affected with this ordinance at all.
I understand. Okay. All I'm pointing out is, in that residential situation, we've created huge amounts of water flow that didn't exist prior to the development of Tulip Trail. This resident had lived on Stone Road for years, and in a conversation specifically, not brought up by me, but him, saying when Tulip Trail came in, this fairly normal-sized creek has become a deluge of water. And other places around town, that's what we're running into. So we really have to keep in mind the potential consequences. We're balancing commercial development and the potential consequences to anybody downstream. Now, if you say Pleasant Valley, if you follow those streams down on your map, I'm not sure that they affect anybody adjacent, or do they?
We're getting on near the valley there.
We're getting pretty close to the valley there. But that's something I think it's critically important that we continue to focus on, is we got to weigh the balance of economic development and potential damage to other people and their properties adjacent, whether it be commercial properties or whether it be residential.
No question. Yeah, I don't disagree.
I see where, you know, Roger Heights, Devon Hills, Brooklyn Heights, they all affect what you're referencing, they all affect water flow, the volume of water, and the viscosity, of velocity of water, because we're downhill from them. So, yeah, we struggle with that, trying to manage. Look at how much money we've spent in trying to manage, mitigate some of those water courses through our residential subdivision. So, yeah, I mean, so there's so many different factors that go in. At some point, you weigh out how much development's enough.
There's no control over those. There's nothing you can do about water comes in from Robbie Heights and Southern Hills.
Well, we proved that along Sprague Road every time there's a serious rain.
Exactly.
You know, their big parking lot sends the water down across and potentially affects at least a few homeowners directly beside the torrent that goes down Sprague Road.
Yeah.
But I think we bear responsibility for protecting ourselves as much as we're able to. I mean, there's no reason we should contribute. We're on the low end to start with. There's no reason that we should be contributing to our potential demise for residents that happen to be further downstream.
Understood. Yeah. I think the alternative is you've got people who are getting just blanket exemptions. So, and that will continue if we don't change it. So, I think with respect to this, I think it's a pretty reasonable approach to say that at least the city has to review those and offer suggestions so that they do have to abide by if they are going to improve these properties. And I think responsible, you know, developers who want to do that anyway, and they'll follow this advice. Right now they don't have to because they're in complete exemption. So
I'd just like to add one more point, is that development standards have changed since the 1980s and 1990s, and so stormwater management still has to happen on site, so we're not contributing to that stormwater runoff that you referenced with the developments that happened with Tulip Trail. So I understand it, and we're not saying to develop and to put a hardship, but just to factor in the fact that stormwater management now has a different standard than what it did during those time periods.
So when Tulip Trail was developed, they didn't have the same standards as what, was that the 90s or 80s?
I think that was 80s.
80s, 90s.
So I may be confused or way off base, but if you have, like, say, the old Broglio property and you have the 25 feet setback, what are you, how are you going to determine how close a person or a developer could put a building to that slope? And vice versa, if you have a ravine and there's a 25 foot setback from the edge of the ravine, what is going to, what are you, how are you going to determine how close you'll allow it to be if we're not going to have that, you know, if we're not going to abide by that 25 feet away from it?
Well, unless they're absolutely reckless, they're going to have an engineer telling them how far they can get to the edge of that ravine to maintain a spectral integrity of the building that they're going to build.
We wouldn't approve anything that really...
I don't even think Don would require that, I'm sure. And then my takeaway from this is I'm going to work with Don. What is the remainder of that 25 foot and the requirement that they have to put these mitigation efforts in that remaining area? Because to Council Person Trakis, but it seems like the scenario that you just described, if they came in with a pretty good payroll and a lot of them, you give them a variance and then there's no mitigation.
And the case in point was the Seabus say at one time did propose their detention base to actually be up against and within that 25 foot setback. And you can imagine all that volume of water waiting at the very top of the slope. So they did, out of respect for the ordinance and out of just their own good engineering principles, geotechnical concerns, they did redesign the site and so made modifications. We still let them get into the setback area with simple little asphalts and curbs, no major loadings. And certainly no buildings. So that would be a better case by case to answer your question.
Having reviewed every one of these during the course of the past years, I don't think we've been irresponsible at all. I mean, no one's built up directly the ravines. I mean, it's been fairly minor intrusions.
Right.
And obviously, we're trying to keep the integrity of the ordinance and the integrity of the water flow, which is most importantly for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Any other matters to come before the committee at this time? Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. The clerk will call the roll.
Trakis?
Aye.
Bevirka?
Yes.
Okay, the committee is adjourned at 4:53 p.m. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for the discussion.
Recording stopped.